Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's been given to us basically to be a connection within us to the spiritual dimension where God exists. Jesus is the intercessor, and the Holy Spirit is our connection. We sing, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. But as a child of the Most High God, filled with the Holy Ghost, I should have the Holy Ghost welling up inside of me, trying to fill this place. We are so afraid in the culture in which we live in today. We are so afraid of people thinking that we're too high and mighty in our thought process. We don't want anybody to think that we're too high on our horse, you know? And the reality is this: we have a very clear understanding, probably too good of an understanding in some ways, that without God, we are nothing. But do we really understand that with Him, we are everything? With Him, we are unbelievably powerful. We just don't know that. So we don't act and we don't walk in that. The Holy Spirit is for tapping into the other dimension, equipping us with power. Luke 24:49 says, go and tarry until you are endued with power. Some translations put it this way: until you are clothed with power. I don't know. Maybe I have a strange thought process about what is power. But I do know this: whatever the relative nature is of power, it is more power than what the enemy has. Now, most of us have been able to see the kind of power that the enemy has. It's strong power. And if you don't think the enemy has strong power, you are being blind. Because the enemy has some strong power. But with the Spirit of God that lives within us, the power that we have is to overcome, which means it's stronger than, bigger than, more powerful than the enemy's power. Somehow or another, over generations, we have got to this place where we live in a zone that basically is this: I have been endued with power to stay saved. Dear Lord, just put your helmet on. That doesn't take any power to put your helmet on. You could do that within your own strength. Put on a helmet. Right? Am I going off somewhere here? He says, put on the helmet of salvation. Once you have been saved and you are wearing your helmet, don't ever take it off. Just leave it on. Then you don't have to worry about whether you got enough power to stay saved or not. Just keep your helmet on. But the enemy, with agreement with leadership in churches for decades, have made us feel like if we just have enough power to hold on till the end, we're going to be good. If you look at the symbol for power, you could tell there's something there. I mean, yeah, there's power when you take a battery and stick it to your tongue. It's been a long time since I did it, so I don't remember exactly how much power. It was just more than I wanted to deal with. But it's not a lot of power. Not really. And there's probably pretty good power when you get a 220-volt shock. But why do they do that? How do they show you? They show you, be cautious, because there's power here. Right? And this power can put you on your hiney. And we're talking about power that's out of this world power. Supernatural power. Not only is it supernatural power, but it is dunamis power. Dunamis means that it is self-propelling. It creates itself from itself. That's the power of God, that he says, I'm going to clothe you with power. If we haven't done much in the supernatural realm using the power in which he's placed upon our lives, maybe we never got it. And if it's been a while, maybe we need it stirred up. Because he said, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, I am clothing you with power. As we are baptized in the Spirit of the Most High God, there should be something change in us that takes us from being weak. And when I say being weak, I mean being tempted by our own desires, addictions, and distractions, to becoming powerful where the evil one touches us not. Scripture says we can get to a place where the evil one touches us not. I still think that's just maintaining. I think we should be getting to the place with our power that when we walk into a room, the enemy starts to shake. Not just doesn't touch us, but is scared and runs. Because of the power of the Most High God that dwells within us, we just haven't tapped into it in maybe a while. This morning, I want to talk to you about the spirit of a conqueror. If you would turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 6. If there were no challenges, there would be no champions. Challenges produce champions. And battles produce conquerors. I told you all on Wednesday night, and some of you guys are going to think I've just lost my mind. help keep my mind in track. But I don't completely have a complete grasp or understanding why. But when I was a young person, and I had the opportunity to be at a friend's house or whatever, and I would stay up late and watch kung fu movies or karate movies. And I loved them. I just thought they were great. And about 2 weeks ago, I rediscovered a whole new batch that the only problem is they have not overdubbed them. Remember, we used to make fun of them where they would talk and then they would overdub it with English language and they didn't match. It was just the weirdest thing watching them. Well, now they don't even do that. They just type at the bottom. So now I'm watching these movies and I've got to read everything they're saying. And somehow or another, I've kind of gotten attracted to watching these. And I know this is going to sound weird. I know it sounds bizarre to me just thinking about it, let alone saying it out loud. But I truly believe that God is showing me something through a few of these movies that are, because the culture is so different than ours. It's completely different. I want to read this because it blew my mind when I read it or heard it, but it said something to this. It says Kung Fu is a Chinese term referring to any study, learning or practice that requires patience, energy, repetition, and time to complete. In its original meaning, Kung Fu could refer to any discipline or skill achieved through hard work and practice, not necessarily the martial arts. If you watch any of these kind of movies, you'll see that, and even still today, their culture is a way that when they serve tea, it is done a perfect way. Like, I mean, they turn the cup a certain way. They do all this stuff. So basically what you could say is that it's women's work, sorry, but normally the lady would be doing the tea, and you could say that her kung fu in tea preparation is good. My kung fu in tea preparation is a Keurig. Not good. There's nothing, there's no routine to it. There's no tradition to it. There's nothing special. I haven't practiced it. I haven't spent any time preparing or planning or getting taught how to make tea. It's just stick in a Keurig thing and push button. Some people, you could say their kung fu is good in house cleaning, and you could say the people that don't have nice or keep their houses very clean, you could say their kung fu is kind of weak in house cleaning. Okay, so you follow what I'm saying? It's not necessarily martial arts. It's in everything, in any part of your life. I want to say the closest we could say would be an expert, but that's not totally true, because most of the time, an expert is done. They've acquired. And with this, you are always learning. You're completely repetition. Even though you know how to do something, you continue to keep and teach your body how to turn a certain way, how to serve the tea a certain way. It's an ongoing process all of the rest of your life. It's interesting because I was saying something to Tammy, and she goes, well, that's kind of interesting because the scripture was written in more of the culture of the East than it is in the West. But in these movies, you have these guys, obviously, they're mostly kung fu movies and are karate movies, I should say, or martial arts, whatever. But you have these guys and they're good. They learn how to do their thing. And then you'll have somebody come from a different school or whatever, and they'll challenge them. It's not a war. It's not to the death, normally. It's just a challenge to see whose kung fu is better at martial arts. Whoever wins is the conqueror. God has called us to be even more than conquerors. That means he has called us to be winners. He's called us to come out not defeated, but on the winning side. Joshua 14, starting with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kezetite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him a word again. It was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 45 years old. I was 45 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. So if the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. A conqueror holds the vision in his heart, or in her heart. And when I say the conqueror holds the vision, the spirit of the conqueror holds or keeps and protects the vision indefinitely. Caleb tells the story. When I was 40 years old, I was sent to spy out the land. I was one of the 12. Moses had sent 12 spies into the land to look over all the place. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can do it. The rest of them came back and said, there's giants in the land. They will kill us. The other two saw the same giants. Some of the biggest giants were with Hebron was. And Caleb goes, God said we could take it. We could take it. He had the spirit or the heart of a conqueror. 45 years pass. Everybody that was of an adult age, okay, follow this. Everybody that was of an adult age when he was 40 years old is now dead, except for Joshua. So Joshua and Caleb are the two oldest people in the whole camp. And Caleb says, my strength is just as strong today at 85 years old as it was when I was 40. Now, first of all, I'm not a big exercise person, if you could tell. But there was a guy I used to work with in his younger years. He was a bodybuilder. He was strong. I mean, he was strong. But he had the, you know, the V-shaped waist and, the, you know, the muscles. I mean, his arms were about as big around as my thighs. He was massive. However, he was probably in his 50s at that point, 40s at least. And he had stopped lifting weights probably 20 years before that. So even though he still had the size, he no longer had the strength because his muscle had turned more to flab. The only way he would have been able to maintain the same amount of strength is if he would have been persistent in staying up with his weightlifting. The only way that Caleb could still be as strong as he was at 85, as he was when he was 40, is he was still active, doing the things that he was supposed to be doing, keeping himself still strong because he was believing, because he had gotten a word from the Lord that he was going to be the conqueror of that area. A conqueror follows the Lord wholeheartedly. There really is no such thing as a half-hearted victory. God gives us the victory when we follow Him wholeheartedly. Been talking a lot lately about passion, about really trying to understand who we are in Him. How dedicated are we to knowing that we truly are a child of the Most High God? And we are a part of the army of God. You know what would happen if an army sat around and didn't practice, didn't exercise? You guys remember, how many of you have ever seen the movie Karate Kid? Paint the fence, wax on, wax off, and the kid's going, teach me how to fight. He goes, I am. Kind of the same thing in military. They teach you how to march. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Teaches you a lot. Teaches you how to stay in order. Teaches you how to follow directions. Teaches you how to stay in step with everybody that's around you. There's a lot to it. There's something to be said about the repetition and the practice and the patience to continue doing what we're doing, even when we're only in practice mode. Because as we practice, we gain strength. As we gain strength, we now come to the place that when attacked, when approached, we are capable and ready to defend not only ourselves, but everyone around us. A conqueror understands that conquest is a lifelong commitment. A conqueror has the right perspective and attitude of him or herself. Your words are the product of your perception and attitudes. Caleb understood that he had a word from the Lord for that he was going to be a conqueror. Because of that, he kept up on the practices that kept him strong. We talk about Wednesday night prayer practice. And I know I really haven't heard anybody else talk about prayer practice before in the church world. But let me tell you something. It's just like we are preparing and planning on how to do it now. A conqueror is determined to lay a hold of his or her possession despite all odds against them. Your dream mountain may be guarded by a giant, but the bigger the giant, the bigger the victory. Amen? The bigger the giant, the bigger the victory. Because if the Lord said we are to be more than conquerors, that means we must at least be conquerors, right? So if we're going to be more than conquerors, we have to at least be conquerors. And no matter what the size of the enemy is, we have more power in us than any enemy has. So the bigger the giant, the bigger the victory. All great achievers have faced obstacles, the resistance of a hostile nature, the opposition of those who did not share their vision, the limitations of their own bodies. I think of the guy who has the ministry called Life Without Limbs. He has no hands or no arms, no legs, and he's got a ministry that he speaks to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He has overcome. He has completely overcome Joni Erickson Tada. You guys know who I'm talking about? She writes, she does speeches. What's that? She paints? Yeah, with her mouth because she's paralyzed. Conquerors really don't care what the obstacles are. The people around you may not agree with you. They may not have the same vision as you. A lot of times, the people that are closest to you don't think you're capable, but they don't know who's in you. These men and women met with failures and disappointments, but they did not abandon their dreams. They persevered despite all obstacles and savored a sweeter victory because their triumphs were the fruit of struggle. For us to have a spirit of a conqueror that takes us from a place of just maintaining, just surviving, just holding on till the end. To becoming more than conquerors. We have the spirit of the Most High God. There is no power greater than the power of God. He speaks a word, let there be light. And light comes where there is no light. And not only does it come then, but it has continued to grow at the speed of light since light began. By just speaking, you talk about power. That's the God we serve. That's the God who lives inside of us. We are not supposed to just be whimsy, pansy little Christians. God has called us to be militant. And I'm not talking about picking up arms. I'm talking about picking up spiritual arms. Like we talked in the first class this morning about putting on the armor of God. Why would you put on armor if you weren't expected to battle? God has called us to be conquerors, to be more than conquerors, but at least conquerors. I don't know what it's going to take beyond a supernatural encounter with God. for us to get more of a grasp on who we are in him because of him. But God has called us to be way more effective in our lives, affecting the circumstances rather than the circumstances affecting us. That one you can write down. That's a good one. You better get done. Rather than the circumstances affecting us, we should be affecting the circumstances. Because the Spirit of the Most High God lives in me. The Spirit of the Most High God lives in you. We have settled for a very weak Christianity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to be more effective for the kingdom of God. If I'm only going to be here for a fleeting moment in time, I want to do what I'm supposed to be doing here on earth. Would you stand with me this morning? We have weapons. That we have access to. Spiritual weapons. Because the battle is spiritual, not physical. However, physical does have an input on the spiritual. Don't be physically doing things you're not supposed to be doing because it is going to mess with your spirituality. Right? That's kind of a no-brainer. So the things we do in the natural do affect the spiritual. God has given us weapons in the spirit realm. He's given us a helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit. These are all things that have been issued to every Christian. That's the basics. On top of that, he has also supplied some of us with other spiritual gifts that are also weapons in the spirit. In times past, when a battle starts to take place between one village and another village, some may have had a sword. Some didn't. So you know what they had to do? They had to pick up their pitchfork and go to fight with the pitchfork. They might have had to fight with a stick or a chain or whatever they could get their hands on. God has called us to be in the army of God. That's why he gave us military clothes to put on. We need to keep saying and praying, God, shake something up in me, stir something up in me, let me get an understanding, some kind of a comprehension beyond where I am now, to a place that I understand that I am part of the army of God. We got that. Well, we need to work on all of them, but we are a child of God, right? We are the bride of Christ, right? But we are also the army of God. Now, interestingly enough, normally the child of a king usually leads armies. right? Usually your birthright will help position you within that army. You may have a crown prince, and then you have other princes. Well, those other princes usually have positions like general. We are a child of the Most High God. So much so that he's placed within us his own spirit to not just be in the army of God, but lead the army of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough, that you've entrusted us enough with power before we even realize what we could do with it. That you loved us enough, and that you trusted us enough to give us your name, that as an ambassador for you, we could carry out your will, your desires, your passions before we even understood or comprehended what that meant. But Lord, as your children and as the army of God, I pray that you would stir up within each and every one of us a passion to become and have the spirit of a conqueror. That when we walk into the room, the devils literally tremble, because not only do we know your name, but we carry your name and we speak your name with authority as a child of the Most High God. Stir up within us, Lord, a recognition and acknowledgement of who we really are in you. We give you the honor and the glory forever and ever. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. I pray that you would stir up the gifts that are within us. Those spiritual gifts, Lord, of the prophetic dreams. I pray, Lord, that you would stir up within us the gift of tongues and interpretation and prophecy. That you would stir up the gifts within us to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I pray, Lord, that you would stir up the gifts that are within us, that we can speak life and comfort and exaltation into your body. That together we can guard each other and protect each other. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to read this. I almost forgot, but I didn't. Last week, Mark Schreck got a word from the Lord, and I would like to share it because I believe it's important for this body to hear what the Lord is saying through a word of prophecy. This was during worship, right? And during the end of worship. I cannot continue to keep my hand over a country that went from loving and holding me up to a country that loves and supports the sins of man rather than loving and supporting the man that performs the sin. I will not remove my hand from my people who love me and keep my commandments. Continue to pray, worship, love, and listen to me, and I will be with you. Just like in the days of Lot, keep your eyes on me and not the sin As you turn to see the sin, you will be lost, as happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. God's not done with us. I truly believe he's just getting started. He's just getting started with us. He's stirring up within us, and maybe there's a little flame, and maybe it's still just throwing this flint in there. I don't know. But somehow or another, I believe he's just getting started with us, and he wants to change us so that we truly walk in who we are. We must continue to worship him, to honor him, to pray, to seek his face. But I also believe it's important for us to put on the armor of God and get ready for battle. With the armor of God, we need to go through the motions of practicing. Getting our body memory, our muscle memory, into a position that makes sense. Wax on, wax off, paint the fence, whatever. But in the spiritual realm, continue to pray, seek his face, because he's not done with us yet. He's not done with us yet. He's just getting started. And if we will continue to say, God, open my eyes, open my heart, open my mind to make me more than a conqueror, I believe that's what he's called us for. He didn't call us just to get by and keep our little ticket, so when we get to the pearly gates, we can say, yes, we did what we were supposed to do, and we tried really hard not to do anything wrong. Amen. Be blessed.